Hey, welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Breton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is. He's not in the portal. He's back. Everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Chad. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on.
I had
on,
to switch
Shane.
To the hard stuff, you know?
Portal madness is what's going on. So I'm going to try to do our best here.
Yeah.
Keep everybody up to date. There's moving and a shaking, and I got a damn update for nearly every team here.
And all kinds of drama attached to it. it's crazy, man. Every time I get on, there's another kid entering. There's another kid leaving. What'd you say? There was up to 4,000 at one point in this?
Over 4,000.
Jeez Louise. That's crazy. Oh, and geez Louise, I did see him in here. So maybe that's why I was thinking it. So, hey, I'm excited. And, Mike, I need some recap because I wasn't able to keep up with it all.
Okay, well, at the end of the day, before we get into all that, don't forget, as always, brought to you by MyBookie this football season. We got a couple games left here in the playoffs, Shane. We got NFL playoffs starting this weekend. We got college basketball.
Yeah.
Shane was supposed to be at the game. He canceled. You know, we got basketball going around, so go check them out. MyBookie presenting sponsor, promo code SEC. Still got their $500 wager free bet if you use that promo code SEC. And then once you do, go take them winnings, take them over to Tennessee Legend Shade and get you some bottle of the greatest damn bourbon whiskey in the state of Tennessee. You know what?
Oh, yeah. I was talking to the cousins over there the other day. They got a lot of special stuff brewing, pun intended. So be sure to check them out. They got two Sevierville locations, one in Nashville. Let them know the cousins sent you. Not only going to get a huge discount, but also a bonus gift. Come on now.
Whoa. Speaking of a bonus gift, Shane.
You got one?
Well, you sort of. Tam, oh, shout out
hey,
Tam. $20 here. Cousin Mike, I'd like to apologize for my inappropriate comment on last night's podcast. You're right. I need to move on and count it as a win. Won't mention him again. Love my cousin. So, hey, there's a little teaser. If you missed last night's show, go check that out. Try to find that because I shall not repeat what was said. But it was pretty wild.
Hey, well, you know, that's what I like. You know, we forget, you know, we're family, right? Sometimes we say shit, man, me and Mike, we get mad at each other all the time. Hell, we're mad right now. You just can't tell. No, I don't. We're actually on good terms. But, hey, at the end of the day, Mike, we're all family, baby.
Yeah, true story. Whenever I'm mad at Shane, it's like he just slides in here and he's like, hey, and he just says something. I'm like, all right, I'm over it. You know?
Oh, shit. I love it, man.
All right. So where to begin, Shane? And let's just go right with Tam, because that's where I put it in the title of the show and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy. And wouldn't you know it, the only team still alive, only team carrying the flag for the Southeastern Conference is Portal Pete and them Ole Miss Rebels, Shane. They have dunked on Lane Kiffin and LSU. And I don't know if – I think there's a receiver. But beyond that, you know, it was supposed to be LSU's going to raid the roster. They're going to take all our best players. Well, since we last recorded, Shane, it's been made official –
yeah.
Quarterback Trinidad Chambliss, running back Kewan Lacy, kicker Luis Canero, defensive lineman Princewell Umanamelian, cornerback Jalen Braxton, punter Oscar Byrd. These are all guys apparently LSU wanted, and I don't think any of them are going to LSU. In fact, all of them have re-upped with Ole Miss. Now, with all this, Shane, again, I know this is all kind of new and confusing.
Yeah.
You know, we got... and again, it basically applies to literally every player we're going to mention on this show. But, you know, even official team accounts are announcing these things. We signed this guy. We've re-signed that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, none of it is official until they actually enroll in class and show up for the next semester. So, you know, I say all that because we know how old devious Lane Kiffin is. Could you imagine? He might be sitting back here twiddling his thumb saying, oh, Trinidad, oh, Kiwan, you know, let's up what we're going to offer them. And they could conceivably steal these guys still.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that. I'm just putting that out there. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen with any of these guys, quite frankly. But I'm just saying it could happen. But if it doesn't, Shane.
Yeah.
What a massive, massive victory here for Pete Golding. And similar to, remember when Lane Kiffin was getting all these offers from Auburn,
mm-hmm.
What did Ole Miss do? They raised all this money, and they said, hey, we'll give you what you want. Stay here. Don't go to the Plains. And he did. He stayed.
Yep.
He ain't leaving, or he wasn't then. And then Ole Miss got a lot better. They got Pete Golding, obviously. They were spending all this money on the roster. Mm-hmm. And they are one of the best programs in the SEC, and they have been since the COVID year. I think losing Lane Kiffin and winning big in the playoff has allowed the money people there in Oxford to say, I'll give a little extra in a capable way from he who shall not be named. I mean, this is quite literally maybe the best time ever to be an Ole Miss fan.
Brother, name another time, right? I mean, you're on the doorstep of a national championship, and your coach that you won't name has left. I mean, you got to remember the videos. You remember the video of the phone call? Ooh, like, yeah. Hey, we're going to be coming down. We're going to have so much fun. We're gonna go grocery shopping with her carts and everything. Yeah. No, it's not happening. Because why? You created this culture. That's the crazy part. It's like you made this the final destination. You made Oxford the final destination. It may not have been your final destination, but by God, these kids felt like it was, and they're doing something special. Everybody's behind them, and you are right. It's all rainbows and butterflies right now, and if that continues to ride out, you talk about an awesome, awesome story when we hoist the national championship trophy. It's coming back to the SEC, baby.
And wouldn't it be wild if it was Ole Miss, who not that long ago, Shane, what they're doing now, which is, I mean, we're all doing it, so it's all perfectly legal. I'm not calling them out. But a little over 10 years ago, the hammer got dropped because we were doing this illegally, you know, with a coach, another loser coach, but who's no longer in this conference. Thank the Lord. But
yet.
It's just wild how all this could come around, and it could be one of the programs that, you know, again, in a different era, they'd be getting punished. Here they're getting rewarded for it.
Absolutely. It is crazy, right? I mean, it's like I feel bad for some of those guys in jail for marijuana, and then my neighbor over here smoking it like crazy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, no, he's not, officer. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it's just kind of funny how the times have changed, but we're still trying to adjust. And I feel like, and we're going to get to some of these teams, there's some news that's floating around. Well, I don't know if we talk about Texas Tech, but you know, we're sitting here, we're watching a team like Texas Tech, we're watching Indiana do this stuff. It's like we're turning over to a new chapter of college football, and us old farts, man, we're going down swinging. We don't like it, but we've got to adapt, and I feel like the SEC is starting to do a little bit of that here.
Right. Hey, shout out to him. Another $20, Shane. Sorry. This is the last time, I promise. But why didn't Lane go after Austin? I assume he's talking about Austin Simmons, of course, who we'll talk about him in a moment, because that's another one, officially signed by Missouri. Now, again, he could, maybe LSU gets desperate, and maybe they, again, this is all wild. I mean, I don't think a contract's worth toilet paper these days in college football with all this. So, but again, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen. But the question, Tam, was why didn't Kiffin go after Austin Simmons? Well, I mean, we have kind of discuss this on this show, but I know Shane has asked me to, you know, like Austin Simmons, is he going to follow Kiffin, or just there was no shot in hell. Even if Kiffin, let's say Kiffin remained at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
No shot in hell Austin Simmons was back. So I thought maybe some of that had turned a little bit with Pete Golden being head coach. But I think Austin Simmons kind of sees the writing on the wall. And obviously, Ole Miss is now all in on Trinidad, which I want to hit on here in a minute. But I think there was no shot, unless Trinidad does not get his waiver,
yeah,
that Austin Simmons is going to be the quarterback at Ole Miss. So I think this he's just going to a different SEC program that is very clear for him to see the field. Why that could have been the case at LSU.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a very good relationship. Maybe not even him, but I'll say his family didn't have a good relationship with Kiffin.
Yeah.
And it had soured, so there was no shot, to my knowledge, that Austin Simmons and Kiffin were going to reunite, regardless of where it would be, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I do feel like there's a little bit of Lane Kiffin's in the bag for Plan B, you know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, a Plan B, even if that's the case, is still going to be very successful. We still got a lot of time left in this thing, you know, figuratively speaking. And I just feel like Lane Kiffin will be all right. LSU will be all right. But it's just entertaining. And nobody is off the board. Like you said, I mean, I watched the, we'll get to Kentucky here in a minute. There's another one that I'm like, dude's already set. He's in Nebraska. Oh, wait, he's coming to Lexington. So that's just kind of what we're at right now.
Shout out Tam, another 20
Damn.
Bucks.
Damn, Tam.
It's the Tam show, but we do appreciate you, Tam. When we were buying players back then, we meant well. Well, hey, it wasn't a problem till you beat Nick Saban twice, and then you got turned in. Imagine how that works, Shane.
Fingers crossed that Tam says something mean again on this podcast.
But hey, so I did want to talk about Trinidad. So that is a huge,
mm-hmm. yeah,
question mark here, where he may not even be back next year because of the he's applying for a waiver.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding, Shane. So literally, he has signed on to come back to Ole Miss, right?
Yes.
So now we have documentation. I don't know how much he's getting paid, but I would.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not be naive. It's probably millions of dollars, right?
Yes.
So I don't have a clue, but let's just say $3 million.
Yes.
And it may be a different number, but if he has documentation right now that he stands to make X amount of millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
and if the NCAA says, the waiver, you know, you're denied.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, guess what? He can take him to court and say, you cost me X amount of million dollars. And I think Ole Miss is very aware that, and he's got this attorney, Thomas Morris, who's
he's
college football. People should know that name. He essentially has gotten all these guys.
Yeah.
From Cade Mays to I can't think of others, but there's literally 100 guys he has got extra eligibility or
like lawyer. He's like the Jimmy Sexton of lawyers, you know? So if you see that name attached, don't worry. The kid's going to be all right.
Right. So he's got the lawyer.
Yeah.
Now they have literally a contract on the table that he's committed to coming back. And if you don't let me come back, you're costing me X amount of. So, I mean, again, it seems like it would be a very easy case, even if he doesn't get the waiver, to sue the hell out of the NCAA. So I would imagine they don't want that. So I think they will approve it. But again, I don't know.
I mean, reading between the lines, you know, they put that out there that they were going to be a little bit more aggressive with getting that decision from the NCAA. And then 2 a.m, my head coach is tweeting out a Trinidad flag, you know? So I'm kind of put I feel like we're going to get an answer sooner than later. And maybe it may be even after this, but I would imagine there's some sort of confirmation and saying, hey, he's going to be able to come back. Cause like you said, they really are starting to set this up for a counter lawsuit, and that's the last thing they want. Because once you do that, it opens up for everybody.
Right. And then aside from all the guys they're bringing back, Shane, Ole Miss has already announced signings with the linebacker Chris Jones from Southern Miss. He led the nation, Shane, with 133 tackles.
Yeah.
So they're getting a tackling machine. They're getting a linebacker, Keaton Thomas, from Baylor, who played under Dave Aranda, is the same defense as P. Golding. He's had 219 tackles the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They got a defensive lineman from Florida, Makai Burrow. I'm sure I butchered that. Defensive lineman Jaheim Otis from Colorado. But before he was at Colorado, he was at Bama.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of their guys. Offensive tackle Carius Kern from LSU. defensive back Jay Crawford for Auburn, defensive back Sharif Denson from Florida. So you're sensing a theme here, Shane. SEC guys coming to Oxford.
Yeah.
And again, these are additional guys that they have signed, and they are trending apparently with Deuce Knight.
Oh shit.
Who they almost got out of high school, but of course he made a mistake of playing for Hugh Freeze for a year. But if they could get him, now we've got depth at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's not even a question anymore, Shane. At least now we're still early in the portal.
Yes.
But Ole Miss, I don't think there's anybody that's a bigger winner, not just SEC, I think in the country, than Ole Miss.
I mean, they're right. They're up there. They're in the top five. I maybe in top three, you know what I'm saying, right now. And I feel like you got to – I mean, I mentioned Indiana. I mean, they're in the heat of this thing, and everybody they want, they've been getting. So I would say they're up there, but you're right. This is not what I expected. I really expected after the Ole Miss win or lost this thing, the bottom to drop out. I'm being real, man. I felt like they were put in a tough spot. You know, Pete could have been just kind of a mouthpiece for a few years before they got another coach in here. And then look out, man. What if I was really off? Like, we just got our – I'm not saying an upgrade just yet, but, I mean, he is winning these playoff games and doing exactly what made Lane special, and that was attracting talent to an Ole Miss team that, quite frankly, wasn't landing rosters like this since Hugh Freeze days, you know?
Right. And again, this is another reason, Shane, why I would say, again, this is not to discredit Lane Kiffin or anything, but people that thought, you know, Portal King, all this BS, yeah, you know, he's just going to go to LSU and everybody's going to follow him. And now LSU's going to dominate the portal. I say it every time, Shane. It's like people don't believe me, but this is about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about money for the vast majority of these guys. It's just the way it is. And these coaches are, except for Brian Kelly, apparently, they're not putting up their own money, right? This is collective. This is NIL operation.
Yeah.
And whether it's Lane Kiffin, Pete Golding, or Charlie Weiss as a head coach Ole Miss, the NIL operation remains the same.
Yeah.
So losing Lane Kiffin, while a blow, it's not, you're not taking everybody that runs the NIL collective. And I think we're seeing that. And that's a big reason why, or that's the main reason, I would say, along with the winning, obviously.
Yeah.
But a huge, huge reason why Ole Miss is doing so well, because they're not having to build this from scratch. It's already in place.
Yeah.
It's just under a new coach.
You know, it's so funny because these coaches, as they say, they talk free agency, and Lane will be out there, especially if he doesn't have a successful portal class. He'll be the first one to stand in line and tell you about how bad the system is. But I'm wondering, what happens, you know, because we're seeing teams. I mentioned Texas Tech, but Texas, you know, Texas A&M, these big money schools that are able to pony up. Do you see any of that coach talk, any of that AD talk ever change? Is it moving like toward that, or are we just going to keep bullshitting about it and not changing anything?
I'm a little confused. What is the question? Are we changing?
Yeah. Do you just feel like this is the system and we're going to have to adapt to it? Or do you feel like, you know, sooner than later, we're going to have some conferences saying, wait, you know, we gotta fix this damn thing.
No, I think it's got to change.
Yeah, right?
Particularly, I think the major one, and I don't know how they do it, though, to be honest with you, Shane, because they tried to do it, and it got taken to court, and it got obliterated. But they tried to do it where you could transfer once, no issue.
Yeah.
Everybody's allowed to transfer once, but not multiple times.
Yes.
And it got blown up in court. So I think that's why you hear, you've probably heard this, but maybe – you know, again, it's a little confusing because this is a pro sports term, but collective bargaining.
Yeah.
That has to come. And what that means is essentially every player has got to opt in, and there has to be, you know, rules that are written that you don't take to court. And you don't take it to court because the teams agree to it, the players agree to it. And that's why you collectively bargain, so that otherwise, Shane, we're in the SEC, we're all crazy, right?
Yeah.
We saw this in real time. I'm trying to think who was the first one. I think it was Florida. I could be wrong, but Florida like opened the floodgates on NIL.
Yeah.
And then George Kirby said, by God, he called up his senator or congressman or whatever, said, Dan Mullen's got this advantage. Switch his shit now. And they switched it within a week. And then Missouri did it. And then Tennessee did it. So we all play by the same rules or it's like the wild, wild west. And that's why they need to collectively bargain so that we can do rules that the players agree to, that the schools agree to, and it doesn't get blown up in a lawsuit, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. But maybe because I'm an idiot and I'm hoping that you can help me out here, but I hear collective bargaining. I hear that thrown around.
Yeah.
So let's say that does go through. What exactly in your mind do you think that looks like?
Well, what that looks like, Shane, and this is why they're fighting it.
Yeah.
The players are no longer students. Mm. They're professionals because they're contracted employees. And that's what they're trying to, that's the old heads don't want that.
Yeah. So, but do you think they'll be able to keep some sort of tie to the, you know, I mean, there's not going to be a total separation, but I think if you got to that point though, you may be able to push the portal and stuff like that because you're not tied to the school anymore. So. Yeah.
Exactly.
Shit.
So we could do this after the playoff or we could do it, you know, before spring.
Yeah.
If they may do away with spring football the way I hear it. They may just go to NFL like camps kind of style. But yeah, so they'd be employees and they wouldn't have to go to school or maybe they still would go to school, but they wouldn't be held to the academic calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's again, am I a huge fan of that? Probably not in the spirit of college football, but we're well beyond, you know, I think Joe Burrow and hey, I think he had the best season of all time. It's not a knock on him.
Yeah.
I don't know that he ever set foot on LSU campus to go to school. he did online classes to my knowledge. Does anyone care about that?
No.
No, he's a legend, right? And more power to him. But was he really a student? I mean, he was like a professional football player down there. You know, and I think they're all like that.
Remember when we were turning in players for cheating on tests? And those were the good old days, weren't they?
It was probably Coach O taking his test for him. Don't you think?
Hell yeah, man. It's just like overnight. We stopped talking about that. And my kids, you remember them getting in trouble for failing drug tests? Like, that used to be a thing, right? Now they're all passing them.
Hey, but I didn't want to just bash on old LSU, Shane.
Uh-oh. Yeah, they got him one.
They got some guys too, Shane. I was blown away by this. So they added this Hawaii receiver that Steven talked about last night.
Yeah.
Jackson Harris, one of only two players last season, Shane, that had four catches of 70 or more yards. So a huge, huge, huge play receiver. He averaged nearly 20 yards a catch, 12 touchdowns. And listen to just his last seven games, Shane. This is, again, Jackson Harris, Hawaii receiver. Now he's going to be LSU. Perfect fit for Lane Kiffin. Last seven games last year. Seven catches, 144 yards, two touchdowns. Okay, pretty good. Mm-hmm. Seven catches, 117 yards. Five catches, 109 yards, two touchdowns. Six catches, 134 yards, two touchdowns. Seven catches, 130 yards, three touchdowns. Three catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown. Awful game. And then four catches, 153 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, this guy, I'm expecting like Randy Moss over here. You know what I mean? Like he was just bossing people. So, again, he's getting some guys. And they just added Kansas State receiver Jace Brown, 115 career catches, 1,972 receiving yards, 13 touchdowns. And they got a tight end, Trey Brown from Old Dominion. He averaged over 20 yards per catch. I think they got them some weapons there for Lane Kiffin to work with.
Oh yeah.
But they're really hurting, Shane. They lost nine offensive linemen to the portal. Of course, they wasn't a very good offensive line to begin with, you know. and they lost Caden Durham, which is to me that is a big one. Maybe they can get him back now that they doesn't look like they're going to get Kewon Lacy. Maybe they bring him back, but Yeah, really got to fix the offensive line. That should be priority number one, even though everybody's going to focus on quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this, too. When it comes to Lane Kiffin,
yep,
the Arizona State guy, Sam Leavitt, is a popular name. Uh-huh. I'm sure he's going to command, you know, an astronomical figure, and maybe he is the perfect guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're LSU, you're Lane Kiffin, do you need the big name quarterback? Because it... Hell, we saw what they did with Trinidad, and, you know, he is just such a good coach when it comes to quarterbacks. I'm not saying you can just win with anybody, but I would imagine you don't necessarily have to get the most expensive guy, and I think they could still put together a really good offense.
No, I think Jackson Dart was, like, the only big name he ever went out and got. I mean, Matt Corral. I mean, you think about all these guys. They were not at the top of quarterback ranking list coming into that season that Lane, you know, kind of took over. So, yeah, I'm not concerned at all about quarterback play here. In fact, if they brought in Johnny Nobody, I would say, you know what, early Heisman runner right here. You know what I'm saying? What he is doing is he's building around him. And I'm kind of with you. I feel like the offensive line obviously will be addressed here, but – a little bit scary just because, you know, this is the SEC, brother. And even though you can field five, if just because you got five out there doesn't mean the five are going to make it to the end of the season. So I feel like this is a depth thing. And we saw a lot of teams struggle with that this year. And LSU is one of those that if you're losing that talent, you really got to build up behind it. So there is a lot of names in the portal, but damn, there ain't that many good offensive linemen.
Right. And again, I mean, we've already got this game circled, Shane.
Yeah.
But week three, LSU at Ole Miss. I mean, there's probably not going to be a better game on the calendar in the regular season for the SEC, do you think?
No. Undefeated will be there, right? If they're undefeated.
If they haven't won a damn game, I want to be there. I don't care about the records.
Hell yeah. No, that's going to be awesome.
Hey, shout out Austin. Appreciate the donation. How about this, Shane? How do you feel about salary caps? May also prevent all these players from switching teams every year.
Yeah.
I mean, if key thing is they have to collectively bargain here.
Yep.
Otherwise, they'll set these caps and they'll just pay people under the table. This is exactly what will happen. So,
yeah.
But I don't think that's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. What let me ask you, Shane, because I see this. People get fed up and they're like, by God, it's transfer portal and yada, yada, yada. Well, I'll tell you what, it's helping Ole Miss.
Yeah.
It's helping Miami. It's helping Oregon. It's helping Indiana. The team's in the final. Who was killing is Bama and Georgia. And when it was Bama and Georgia dominating, people were bitching about, I'm tired of seeing, remember, what was it, 4 years in a row, we had Alabama Clemson.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, this sport sucks. You what a two or three teams got a shot. Everybody else, I mean, I guess people just like to bitch. But I think this nature is the way it's set up right now, I think it gives everyone a shot, or at least the feeling that they have a shot.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope, right? Because it's not, you know, if you go to salary caps, it's not like you're drafting these kids out of high school. You know what I'm saying? The kids still ultimately have a decision on what school they go to. Portal kids will have a decision on what school they go to. And even if they're locked into a guaranteed contract, I still imagine that there's conversations saying, hey, above that contract, I can land you a $3 million Hardee's commercial. You know? So yeah, I'm going to sign up here because I know above my contract, I'm still going to get $3 million. So, and there'll be roster adjustments. It'll be so manipulated, even if there are salary caps. So I'm glad I'm not over this, but again, you know, you go back in the day, these teams were paying players. It's not like we just started paying them, you know? So the SEC has been dominant. I'm just curious why all of a sudden we're just getting our ass handed to us in the portal and recruiting, you know? It sucks.
Yeah, well, I maybe just the commitment needs to
amplify. Do we need to find oil in the Southeast? Is that what it is? Do we start digging again?
You need to get back on that land man, Shane. I'm telling you, that'll be the path for us dominating the sport again.
There Will Be Blood 2.
Well, hey, speaking of winning in the portal.
Yeah.
Well, a mix, Shane, of winning and overall winning. But shout out Missouri, Shane. So, again, they made it official. They have assigned Austin Simmons. And I'm starting to really come around. I think that's a massive upgrade of quarterback potential for their system. They've landed linebacker Robert Woodyard, one of Auburn's best linebackers last year, 67 tackles. And then Jaleel Florence from Oregon, a corner. He was banged up this year, but he's had multiple interceptions, 35 tackles. But here's one where that hurt, Shane. And maybe they get him back. Maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Damian Wilson.
Yeah.
Outstanding pass rusher. 9 sacks this year, a pick, 20 tackles. Hits the portal this afternoon. And again, like I said, he could come back, but based on what I've heard, it doesn't sound like that's very likely to happen. Missouri's had 24 guys hit the portal, Shane, a lot. A couple projected starters on defense. The offense is going to look completely different next year. Is this ultimately a plus or a minus so far for the portal for Missouri, do you think?
I'm leaning minus right now. I mean, there's some big names hitting the portal and you can't just replace some of these guys. I mean, you can, but I don't know. That's a lot of production and again, momentum. That's the last thing we want. It was a down year. We don't want to compound that with another one. So, I always have faith in Drink just because, you know, Lane Kiffin has stole the headlines for so many years during the transfer portal. But if you look back in the history of the portal, Drink's been right up there with them. So I still feel like we've got some time here to pull this thing out. And they are getting some big names. It's not like they're just, you know, watching everybody walk out.
Is there a quarterback, and we'll have all season to talk about this, but is there a quarterback that's got, what is the right word? You know, the biggest maybe variance of how good he could be or how, maybe he's not good. Then Austin Simmons next year at Missouri. Is there another quarterback that you can think of off the top of your head that is like bigger boom or bust, maybe is the best way to say that, than Austin Simmons?
Maybe Deuce getting thrown around up there, just because we really don't know what his ceiling is, but the goalpost will keep getting moved. It's like he'll keep getting taller. It's like that old fishing story. That fish just kept getting bigger and bigger until we actually saw it. So I feel like when the season starts, wherever Deuce lands will be kind of one of those. But similar to maybe Jackson Arnold a couple of years ago, just we knew how good he could be, but we also saw the bottom. So that's probably where I'd compare it.
Shout out Vol Tiger says, to quote Shane, we're just making room.
Just making room. Come on. We're getting that cancer out of the locker room, you know?
Well, hey, yeah, I can tell you could breathe a little bit easier today, Shane.
Now that I sneezed?
No. it's Auburn fans. Because they landed their quarterback that we've been waiting for them to get, South Florida, Byron Brown.
Yeah.
Hendon Hooker 2.0, they're calling him, Shane. Led college football with 42 touchdowns last season. Mm-hmm. Averaged nearly 350 yards of total offense. So that's the big one, obviously. Knows the offense, knows Golish. Cody Burns, the offensive coordinator, they're all coming. And not only the quarterback, Shane. These are just the South Florida guys they've added. Running back, Nakai Davenport, tight end, Jonathan Eccles, receivers, Corey Pettigrew, Christian Neptune, Jeremiah Koger, and then corner, Gavin Jenkins, safety, Fred Gaskin, and then another quarterback, might as well order a couple, Lachlan Hewlett. So, man, the South Florida connection, very real.
Yeah.
And I think that in multiple ways that's good, Shane, because obviously you want to hit the ground running if you're Auburn. Mm-hmm. All these guys are going to know the playbook. They know the coaches. They know what they're signing up for. We can expedite how quickly because I think the offense might have to carry us a little bit, at least early in the season. I don't see many downsides to this. And another one, which is kind of obvious, but if this many guys are following Golish,
yeah,
I think if you're an Auburn fan, you're like, well, they must love his ass. Or, you know, he's a popular guy to them. I think that's a great sign for Auburn.
He kind of Deion Sanders this thing, didn't he? Just bring them all. Bring them all down. How bad would it suck to be in that locker room and not get the phone call? Stuck down there in South Florida, like, damn, coach lied to me. I feel like you could take it either way, right? If you're an Auburn fan, I'm trying to be more optimistic this season. I feel like you are correct. This shows exactly what kind of culture Golish is going to create. The fact that kids, I mean, some of these kids that you mentioned had plenty of opportunities to play at other SEC schools, even more successful programs, and chose to come up here with Golish and company. So, hey, you know, a start of something special, you got to build that foundation, and this may be the group that becomes that foundation for them.
The Auburn Bulls. How about
oh, yeah. Now, the negative, it's like, well, he couldn't get anybody else, so he didn't.
Yeah. I mean, that's in, I know you're not going to want to hear this, Shane, but that's the same thing that old Indiana guy did.
Yeah.
He just brought all his whole damn team from James Madison.
And worked.
It worked for them. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he's doing. He's stealing a page out of Cignetti's book.
Yep. And
that's the name we shouldn't mention on this show.
Hopefully, who's stealing a page, Shane?
Yeah.
Is our guy John Sumrall down there at Florida. So big news for the Gators today.
Yeah.
Re-signed Jaden Baugh, Shane, first Gator in 10 years to rush for 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. He was the offense last season. That was huge, keeping him away from Texas. And they officially announced the signing of quarterback Aaron Filo from Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. who obviously worked with the new offensive coordinator there, Buster Faulkner, so he knows the playbook. Now, he's not terribly experienced, 938 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. So he sounds a little DJ Langway-ish to me, but I'm kidding. Hopefully he'll clean that up. But I do like we're bringing in a quarterback that knows this system, and they're bringing in the kicker and punter from Tulane, Shane. So Sumrall's, you know, popular with the kickers and punters.
Yeah.
Continuity will be there as well. So, I think it's huge, though, to get Jaden Baugh, get re-signed with a new coach. He had Ohio State, Texas. I mean, these are the schools that were after him, and he's re-upping. I think that's a major win for John Sumrall.
Yeah, I mean, we said that. What was the biggest, like, if you could keep one guy on that roster, who would it be? And it was, we both said it, it's unanimous. And one of the, I think, that we're talking, or maybe not talking about, is DJ not signing with Florida State was also a good thing. So a little small celebration there in the locker room that they don't have to deal with him at the end of the season. So, but yeah, I mean, whenever you have coaching turnover, you're going to have probably more negative than positive. But I feel like this was a pretty good head start, if you will, in the portal window. But I don't think they're nowhere near done. I every time I turn on, there's some Florida propaganda being thrown at me on my timeline right now. Who's pushing it the hardest right now? Is it Florida? I see a lot of Kentucky. I see a lot of Florida. I see Oklahoma, quite a bit of Oklahoma in there.
Yeah, let's go right. That's exactly where I wanted to go. I'm seeing it in the comments. This is Jim Nagy's universe. We're just living in it, man.
Yeah.
Because they have added, I think that just for the storylines alone, I love this, Shane. But let's highlight Texas, or I should say former Texas receiver, Parker Livingstone. I've even seen the Texas media saying, well, yeah, this guy. Only 29 catches, 516 yards. He only had 100 against two teams. You know, I've never seen a media bash a guy going out the door, but that's what they're doing. So yeah. Parker Livingstone, and they did you see they even leaked how much he's making at Oklahoma?
No.
Allegedly. But, again, they're reporting it. $800,000. So shout out to him for getting it. But, hey, we needed weapons if we're Oklahoma. We were really questionable at receiver outside of Satania, really, and Deion Burks at times. And they also added receiver Trell Harris from Virginia, Shane. 113 career catches, over 1,600 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns. They got offensive lineman Marion Harris from Arkansas. He's one of their better ones. And then you're going to love this guy. This is Cousin Shane's new favorite player in the SEC, tight end Rocky Beers from Colorado State. 53 catches, 564 yards, and 9 touchdowns. They also added tight end Hayden Hansen from Florida. So really adding a lot of weapons. This was, I think, the number one priority for the Oklahoma Sooners. We got to be less dependent on John Mateer here. Get him some help. And I think early in the portal, Oklahoma's done it.
Yeah, I was trying to find the video. There's a video floating around Livingstone talking about the Red River and what it meant to wear that burn orange. And now he's just, they're burning all the jerseys down there. A little extra something on this game, and I can't wait to see it. But, yeah, I tell you, man, Nagy's been on fire. Absolutely. I was excited when they brought him in. You know, we all got enamored by John Mateer coming in and everything. But, man, give this guy some time to cook, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to build a sweet roster and keep Oklahoma in the playoffs every year. And they still got some work to do, but damn, talk about a hell of a head start. They got one.
Hey, excellent point by Cousin Pablo here, Shane. Is there going to be a more high-selling jersey than Beers for Oklahoma?
Maybe Arch Manning. Arch Manning and then Rocky Beers.
I mean, that's jersey, whether he's on the team or not, it's going to be.
What's the biggest size you can get in jerseys? Asking for a friend.
We'll send you an Oklahoma Beers one for you.
Yeah, please. Yeah. You can always tell, like, have you ever been to North Face before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I walked in North Face. They do not have a big and tall section. Well, they didn't at the time, so it got me a toboggan because I'm leaving here with something, you know, so maybe I have a Beers hat, you know?
We'll get you some beers. Don't worry, Shane.
Yes, thank you.
I know you're getting distracted here. You're getting thirsty. Yeah. Hey, well, maybe this will distract you, Shane. Alabama. Mm-hmm. God, they needed a running back this year, didn't they? Well, they got one in cool name, too. Hollywood Smothers.
Ooh.
From North Carolina State, Shane. 939 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns. He's got over 1,500 career rushing yards at NC State, 12 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. They added a linebacker, Caleb Woodson from Virginia Tech, 2-year starter, 151 career tackles, and a tight end, Josh Ford from Oklahoma State. But the headliner so far, Hollywood Smothers for old Alabama. He's a big play.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Alvin Kamara-esque type running back. That could be huge for the Tide.
All names team, too. Boy, we're building it, ain't we? Two back-to-back here. I love it. Build it. That's what we need, right? Defense, the defense kept us in a lot of games last year, and I feel like you just built some more talent back there. Yeah, Alabama will keep rolling. They're going to find money. Alabama's one of those that's like, we're not going to talk about. I love how people compare how great their program is to how good Alabama used to be. Alabama's still good. They're just barely missing right now. And getting guys like this may be the one that steps them up next year.
Yeah, and that is funny, Shane. Maybe this isn't the metric for how you should be viewing things.
Yeah.
But how many SEC programs this year would have switched with Bama? I mean, I think damn near all of them short of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
they're one of the few, Ole Miss being the other, that got a playoff win. So yeah, it's kind of funny how we view it as like a horrible year, you know?
Alabama sucks. Oh, what a horrible, like, is their quarterback in the portal yet? You know?
Yeah, well, let me ask you, because that is obviously a huge talking point right now.
Yeah.
Ty Simpson, mm-hmm. he still's not made a decision, to my knowledge, go to the NFL or get in the portal, come back to Alabama.
Yeah.
There's rumors, obviously, Tennessee we've talked about, LSU is another one, heard Oregon. Mm-hmm. What do you think Ty Simpson should do? And is it solely dependent on what his draft grade is, you think?
No, I don't think the draft grade will be there. I just don't personally. And I feel like coming back will be big for him. It's just picking the right spot. And Alabama clearly isn't that spot. That I feel like that ship has sailed a little bit. Yeah, but there are plenty of opportunities out there that Ty could come in, build off, you know, kind of like Bo Nix this thing, you know, and come out, have a successful season, probably be in the Heisman talk all year long, and, you know, build his draft resume.
Bo Nix of Oregon?
I'm just saying, well, golly, I hope not.
Would you forgive him for going to Alabama if he comes to Tennessee?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we ain't doing shit in the portal. Might as well spend it on somebody. Damn, our AD's out here. Did you see him fighting with fans? We're going to have a cool place to watch football games, you know? The first comment's like, yeah, but nobody's going to stay for a 35-3 ass whooping, you know?
That's true, Shane. That is true. Hey, how about this one? So you've talked about propaganda.
Yeah.
Kentucky, Shane. Now, they're swinging big out there.
Yep.
Did they get a good one? I don't know, Shane, but they did land a quarterback. Kenny Michi, I think is how you say that. He was at Notre Dame, I believe. Now, he was headed to Nebraska, Shane. He was about to sign, and they said, don't sign. Come on down to Kentucky. And I think that's a big win. If for nothing else, you're again, Matt Rhule is supposed to be guy's gift to coaching, right? Everybody wanted a Penn State and all these. They wanted, I don't know why they wanted him apparently, but he got a contract extension. He's one of the worst coaches at the power level, yet he can't get a backup quarterback from Notre Dame, but Kentucky got him. So I've heard some rumbling, Shane, that Oregon was really, really high on this guy, and they saw him a lot as a Dante Moore type. Mm-hmm. According to our buddy Nick Roush. So, you know, a big physical guy that can run the football. And our new coach, Will Stein, of course, he comes from Oregon. So he knows all about this guy. And given his, if you look up Will Stein, if you don't know, his track record with quarterbacks is pretty stellar. So I got to put all my faith in him that this guy, he knows what he's doing when it comes to quarterbacks. But what's your thoughts on adding this backup at Notre Dame who apparently nearly won the job?
I heard he almost had the job. Like they said, I think there's a video floating around, coach regretting, he said, or something along those lines. But yeah, I think it's huge. You know, the fact he committed to Nebraska and they're like, hey, you like Lincoln? Wait till you see Lexington. Yeah. So I think it's a big get because, you know, it's not a Deuce. It's not a DJ Lagway. It's not one of those names that probably is stealing the headlines, but we're talking about it, right? And if we're talking about it, we're talking about Kentucky. And I felt like that's exactly what needed to happen this first season with new coach, new regime, just a new chapter. Just let's start over. Let's clean slate this thing. And but I feel like this was an important one because, like you said, he gets credit for the quarterback development. You know, you go out and you get your guy. So now we're expecting something. But if they can double down and see that development year one, then all of a sudden we're saying, hey, we've got ourselves a little track record here. It makes it a little bit easier next time the portal opens up for Kentucky.
Right. And then they added some other guys, Shane. All these guys have SEC ties, which I absolutely love. Running back Javonte Barnes from Oklahoma.
Yep.
Max Anderson, offensive lineman from Tennessee. Linebacker Taven Wallace from Arkansas. He was their highest rated signee last class. So he's just a youngster, and his brother played at Kentucky, and now he's in the NFL. Cornerback Aaron Gates from Florida and defensive lineman Ahmad Bro from LSU. So give me all the SEC guys. We need them at Kentucky. And again, we certainly need quality, but we need quantity as well to get this roster up to speed. So I love how aggressive Kentucky is being so far, and it's just it's a change from what they have been, and I think it's a good change.
Oh yeah, very good change. I was like when they say we got somebody because they go back to say this was the number 48 prospect 3 years ago, and the make it sound a little bit more special, even though he didn't start. But no, there are some starters coming up there, and honestly, if I'm picking, you were talking about biggest surprises, I would say Ole Miss, number one, but surprise is Kentucky. I did not, I mean, I'm not saying Kentucky was better than Oklahoma's class or better than Texas class or anything like that, but as far as surprised, I'm surprised how much success they're having in the portal this go round.
Right. Well, you know what doesn't surprise me, Shane?
Steven up.
Always Road showing tide. Up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven up. He gifted JD Courtney Miller, an Auburn fan, Shay. So we got JD, and we also got Blessed Vet.
Hell yeah.
He became a member. So Blessed Vet, thank you for your service, and
welcome to the family.
To Blessed Vet and JD.
Yeah, thank you for your service, brother.
All right, Shane. So we got who else we got here? I mean,
did we even mention to? Did Tennessee get anybody beside a 3-star running back? Nothing.
No. Well, they got a safety out of Kansas State, Quay Moss. Right. Maybe he's related to Randy. I don't know. And then offensive lineman Ori Williams, one of the 100 out of LSU that left the portal. 6'8", 330 pounds, played in 12 games last year with 2 starts. So that's something.
Making room, baby. What about South Carolina? Got anything in Carolina? I've seen, saw they got an interior offensive lineman.
Right. So they had 7 offensive linemen hit the portal.
Well, I mean, Shay told you, and I'm telling you, this is the move right here. This is the one that moved me to the edge of the seat.
Right, so they've added 2 out of the portal on the offensive line specifically. Hank Purvis from Purdue, mm-hmm. Carter Miller from Central Florida, and then they added a defensive lineman from Georgia, Jordan Thomas.
Yeah.
So any lineman we can get from Georgia, I don't care if he never even saw the field at Georgia. If you were in Athens, you're good enough for me to play at any school in the SEC. So I think right now all the money, not all, but the vast majority, Shane, has gone to the retention of this roster. And that's kind of where we were last year, too. So I'm not saying that they're done. I think they added a receiver from Oklahoma, maybe. They got other guys that they're targeting right now. But a little bit of a slow start for Carolina out of the portal. And again, Shane Beamer and company, they've got one of the best track records, Shane, of adding guys that the casual fan, well, hell, myself included, has got no. I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And then turns out to be a really good player, you know?
No, I'm just, these damn comments. The cousins are the highlight of this show, you know? And I appreciate you guys hanging out. But Sellers has changed his linked profile to open to work.
hey, Tolkien.
Tolkien, say it. Say it, Mike.
Ole Miss ain't leaving, he ain't leaving. Then he left, you know?
Hey, cousin, man, those YouTube alerts are lacking.
Well, I've heard that from people. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, we're kind of here every day at the same time. No, I'm messing with you, Tolkien. Actually, schedule was almost adjusted. I was going to go to the Tennessee game tonight, but change your plans.
So hey, and then, speaking of that, Shane.
Yeah.
Change your plans.
Uh-oh. Pivot.
Not really, but Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know this guy was still playing college football. Do you remember A.J. Swan?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, then the LSU.
Yeah, and then last year, apparently, he was at old Appy State. Now he's at Mississippi State to be back up. So
I'm telling you, there's a 3-week stretch. You'll find the tape. It's out there somewhere where I was convinced that A.J. Swan was going to be the next best quarterback in the SEC. So, dude, this is a guy to watch, especially in Mississippi State where he could cut loose. Never got the opportunity down there in LSU. But, I mean, he was behind some big, big names. So,
yeah, and I think he's about 33 years old.
So. Yeah, he's buying everybody beer in the locker room, you know.
But more importantly for State, Shane, they kept re-signed Isaac Smith, outstanding defensive back. He's the best player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic. And they added a corner, Quentin Taylor, from Iowa State, Shane. 27 tackles, a team high, 5 pass breakups. So, nice little pickup there for State.
What about Texas A&M? Got anything on them? Seems like I see them on. At least they're hosting everybody.
Most important, perhaps, Shane. Kicker for A&M. David Alano from Illinois.
Yeah.
37 of 43 kicking field goals. That's 86%, brother. That's that's about 40% higher than their last kicker. So that's huge. And then they added offensive lineman from South Carolina, Travon Baugh. And then defensive lineman Ryan Henderson from San Diego State. He had 10.5 sacks in his career so far. And Brandon Davis Swan from Colorado. So getting a little beefier on the line. That's where they need it. So that's what I got for A&M in the last couple of days here.
Tolkien, some of us are here at the same time, Shane, and I always stick up for you.
That's true. He usually beats you.
Yeah,
ears, right?
I know. He's usually here way earlier than I am.
And then, hey, Texas got a kicker too, Shane.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is the way to do it, you know? Just get you a kicker out of the portal. They got Gianni Septic, I think is how you say it, from Memphis, 46 of 62, so over 74% accuracy, kicking field goals. They got a tight end from Michigan State, Michael Massunas, 270 yards, 3 touchdowns. They also got a punter from Florida State, Shane. And if we know what I think we know about Florida State,
yeah,
he got a lot of work as a punter.
A lot of work. Absolutely. Vanderbilt?
Vanderbilt. That's the one team I don't think I have anything on right now. But
back
hey,
to life.
How about to Arkansas, Shane? They got your favorite kicker. I don't know if you saw this. Gilbert is a Razorback, and he's going to be playing Tennessee next year, Shane.
Yeah, I got a shout out to a buddy here. This is the exact text I got sent as soon as it happened. Max Gilbert's going to drill a 55-yard field goal to beat the Vols when they go to Arkansas next year. You know it's coming.
And they also got the Razorbacks got Jaheim Johnson. They just signed him, but from Tulane, four picks this year, this season. And then, man, I cannot recommend this enough. But the only impressive thing, again, I'm sure he's a hell of a player. Jasper Parker from Michigan.
Yeah.
He only had 93 yards and 2 touchdowns. But he was a freshman. And there's a video of him running up the walls of the football stadium. You got to see this thing. I'll send it to you, Shane. But
yeah,
I recommend the cousins. Jasper Parker. Just search that on Twitters. Mm-hmm. See this madman run literally up the stadium. It's one of the more incredible things I've ever seen. If he could do that, he could be the next great Arkansas Razorback running back, in my opinion. But it's pretty wild stuff here.
Jasper Parker is his name, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's check it out.
I didn't know you were going to do it live here.
I'm going to do it live. I mean, what else we got to do, right? But go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sure I'll find it.
And then Georgia got a big-time safety, Khalil Barnes, out of Clemson. So that was huge for them. And I think that's about all that I got. I tried to keep up to date with the latest, the last 24, 48 hours. It's a millions of names and everything. But that's about what I got, Shane.
Be careful Googling Jasper Parker. I did not get stadium runs on my search. So maybe you can send me that link.
Yeah, I'll happily
Thanks.
Do it when we're done
Thanks,
with
guy.
This here.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, this is what we do at 58 minutes into the show. You know, we start to lose a little focus.
Well, hey, that I can't believe you said that, Shane, because that does remind me. And I saw it in the comments.
Yeah.
So I do want to shout out one more of Texas. I forgot to mention it. They got Arkansas defensive lineman Ian Giffrard, I think is how you say it, and Arkansas Razorbacks. Shane, so this guy's a nose tackle, right?
Yeah.
370 pounds. And the only thing they mention is a play he had. I know we were pretty upset when we saw it, too. Mm-hmm. We did an emergency podcast right after. We got mad as hell, and they fired Sam Pittman. But if you remember, this 370-pound Ian Giffrard, nose tackle, yeah. The Memphis, I think it was the quarterback, carried his ass for about 6 or 7 yards, and they got the first down, and Memphis upset them.
Yeah.
That's all the Razorback fans think of, right?
Yes.
But again, he's 370 pounds, and it was the last minute of the game. And I'm thinking, 370 pounds. Imagine being 370 pounds, 59 minutes into a football game. How tired are you going to be?
exhausted.
And it reminded me of Cousin Shane at the end of all these shows. How tired is he of sitting here? I mean, if I was that guy, I couldn't have brought him down either. You know what?
And you can always tell, like, outside when it's cold, you know, you see his breath. You just, whew, there'd be, like, steam coming off the helmet. Yeah, the helmet. So, yeah. Yeah, I do pretty good. I do pretty good. It's just about that hour mark I start to. And the coffee, I ran out. Did you see mine? Dad joke loading. I got a whole bunch of those. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. All right, Shane. Anything else before we hop off here?
No. Again, it's very fluid, right? I mean, we just told you who you're getting. That may change tomorrow. So
should we do a mailbag tomorrow?
God, can we? Can we? Yes.
And maybe picks too, because we got a game on Thursday.
Damn. Can we be about 15 minutes late tomorrow? Is that possible?
I'll be here same time. You just said we're at the same time every, and now you're like, can you be late?
I know. Tolkien, 15 minutes late tomorrow. Okay. You are allowed 15 minutes late. Tab hasn't said anything mean yet, so I keep waiting for Tab here.
All right. So we're going to do mailbag.
Yes.
We'll make our pick. And then before you know it, the game will be here on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's right here. We're going to have the watch party Thursday, maybe, right? I haven't even talked to you, Mike.
I'll still be here.
Yeah, so, I mean,
who I'll else be 15 gonna... minutes early. How about
who
that, Shane?
Who else am I going to watch it with? So, no, definitely going to watch that one, and maybe Friday. I don't know. Shit, I ain't got nothing to do. So, we'll figure it out, but I look forward to seeing all the cousins tomorrow. Get those questions in. Official cousins, get those questions asked. And JP, shout-outs were posted, and I missed it. So, let me go up here and find it.
I got a really good guest tomorrow, too. So, it's... I don't know when I'll post it. I'll try to get it up as soon as possible, but I'll try to get it maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's tricky because of those games. Maybe Thursday. I don't know. We'll see. But a really, really good guest. It should be a fascinating interview that you're not going to get this kind of content anywhere else out there. I promise you.
Love it. Is that what you would say if I was coming on? Like,
oh, no, I'd be like, no need to tune in.
I may do it today, I may do it tomorrow. But, JP, I appreciate you, cuz, making the shout-outs at the end of the day. Shout-out, oh, I like that, goes to Tamby, Freedom Van, Austin Norton, Steven Up, and Tolkien. JP, I appreciate you. I appreciate all the cousins, and I look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow.
Absolutely. So until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye-bye. See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.